Hi, my name's Frank from Norway. Love the show, and get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 60 for Thursday, June 16th, 2011. It is our triumphant return! Not that we ever really went anywhere, but we just haven't done a podcast in a few weeks. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host of the show and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. And we've returned with the A-Team. We have Corey Streeter from the forums.
Hey, everybody. It actually feels like it's been forever.
Well, it has been. It's been 3 weeks, which is like 5 years in Android time, right?
Yeah.
And we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
And since we're the A-Team, I get to be Baracus. What you talking about, Phil?
Do you not like to fly? Do we have to knock you out?
Yeah, that'll work. Give me something to knock me out.
Well, actually, I mean, it hasn't been that long since Jerry and I saw each other, and we haven't done that many podcasts since then. Like, you had the flight from hell out to Google I.O., right? No air conditioning.
No.
Yeah,
and stuck on the runway. It was a mess.
Well, that I'm used to.
It was worth it.
Did they throw in a crying baby?
No. No, all businessmen.
Yeah. We have Mickey Papillon. You know him as the cell phone junkie.
So I'm not really the A-Team. I'm more like the bench team over here. So you just throw me in whenever you need me, but I'll be here.
Oh, you're very much the A-Team.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So that's it. That's our show. Now, God, it's been forever. All right, so what have we done since our last podcast? We had the Samsung Galaxy Tab event in New York City. And I know a lot of you who listen to the podcast were up there at the thing, and you were all awesome. Oh my! I'm at a loss for words. It was so warm and fuzzy meeting everybody and shaking hands, and you made me feel so happy and good and cuddly. I'm not used to that, actually. It was very weird.
And you were the guy that got to hand out all the prizes.
Oh my God, they gave away so much stuff. They're like, all right, give away 5 7-inch Galaxy Tabs, and here's a couple Droid charges, and here's a gift certificate for 10.1, and it was just awesome. Samsung did a really good job. NetShelter, our advertising agency who helped put the thing on, did just an awesome job. It was a lot of fun. It was so much fun meeting everybody. Gave out a bunch of shirts, gave out a bunch of stickers. Just really cool stuff. I can't wait to do one again. I don't know if we'll do one again, but I'm pushing for it. Really, really want to.
Was there any hardware out there that just, you know, that was really exciting, or people maybe hadn't seen... You know, this was their first time seeing it?
Oh, that that was the thing. It was their first time seeing it. So they had, actually, I counted. I think they had 45 Galaxy Tab 10.1s for everybody to play with. There were the retail versions, you know, that were coming out like the next week or whatever. They all had 3.1 on them, Android 3.1. NVIDIA was out there and had some people and were showing off some games and stuff. And it was just really, really cool to see. And I'm really glad people got to experience just... the awesomeness that is this stupid job that I have, right? Like, I mean, it's stupid. It's stupidly ridiculous. It's so much fun. And I'm so glad we got to share it with people and just have a good time and you know, good food. And just, you know, some of the people we met was just incredible. And a little bit
rub it in.
Bring
us
cry.
Next time.
I know. I want to go out and do a West Coast one now. They did one the next day, but we weren't invited to that. We had to do the East Coast. So it's like, all right, I'll go do it. I'll be all right. So we had that. And then I was in Miami last week. And then, I know I tweeted out that, you know, real life got in the way. Everything is fine. Thank you for your concern. I was just doing the single parent thing for a couple nights. And doing the podcast would have been a little tough with a 9-month-old in one arm and a 4-year-old on the other. Though it would have been more entertaining, I think. Mia's gotten herself very into a Plants vs. Zombies. She wants to play that now.
Ooh, fun.
Cool.
So that's the life of Phil for the past 2 weeks. What have you guys been up to?
Staring at a gazillion phones.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at the sidebar right now on the front page. I'm like, which one of these do I want?
Well, let's talk about these phones, because that's kind of all I put on the agenda tonight. If you guys want to talk about something else, we can. Probably, I think, the most anticipated phone of the summer we finally got in our hands today, and that's the Evo 3D. And quite the phone it is, actually. 4.3-inch screen, dual-core 1.2 gigahertz processor, RAM, ROM, blah, 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 blah. Android 2.3, Sense 3.0. Can I sing the praises of Sense 3.0 for a few minutes?
Please.
Did it take that long? Have I not done it enough on the site? I'm just over the moon at Sense 3.0. I mean, and I've never been a big Sense guy, and I could still live without it, but it has just gotten so good and so smooth. and I thought I loved it on the Sensation, and that was the other thing I had in the agenda, was the Sensation. I guess we can just kind of talk hardware. But wow, Sense is just fast and smooth now, and I love it. I love that lock screen. Just madly in love with it. I need to root the Thunderbolt finally, just so I can get that on there. That poor Thunderbolt.
Yeah, it's almost amazing they couldn't have provided that 2 months ago when they released the Thunderbolt.
Well, they didn't want to, I don't think. I think they wanted to save it up for this new crop of phones. What else? So it's got the 3D stuff, and you know, to me, 3D has always kind of been take it or leave it. On this phone, I say leave it. It's just, it's not good for several reasons. The implementation just isn't as good as what LG has done. And I'm not crazy about it on the LG phone. I still think it's gimmicky. But at least on the LG Optimus 3D, it's passable. And you know, it doesn't give me a headache when I immediately watch it. Now, that said, I'm actually wearing my glasses tonight and I want to fire something up. and maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. It's a different kind of screen.
Well, I found it gives me a headache if I do wear my glasses.
Really?
At least on the LG phone.
That is just ridiculous.
Well, Corey, have you ever played with a DS? One of the DS Nintendo 3D monster stupid things?
Oh, yeah.
You have to hold it at the right distance from your eyes and at the right angle, or it just doesn't look right, and it makes you cross your eyes.
You shouldn't have to do that with a phone.
Yeah. Yeah, if your head isn't in the right position.
With the Optimus 3D, you can, like, rotate the phone a little bit, and the image is still smooth, right? I mean, it's still 3D.
Right,
it might cross you a little bit. With this thing, it's almost like there are, like, it's done in sections. So as I'm tilting this, like, you still get the 3D effect. and if you're not looking at it straight on, it really hurts your eyes.
You're like seeing two images in 3D?
It doesn't have much of a viewing angle. You have to be staring at it right on to get the 3D effect. And actually, that doesn't look bad right now. That's not horrible. But as soon as you tilt it, just a little bit, the 3D effect, I mean, it's still there, but it makes your eyes hurt and makes you lose focus. And it's like every, I don't know, like 2 degrees or whatever, it like starts and stops. It's not smooth.
Oh, yeah, thank God for that switch on the side.
Yeah, well, I mean, all right, so here's the thing about the switch. It only affects whether you're taking 2D or 3D images. It's not a hardware switch that turns the screen from 2D to 3D. There was a, Corey, you remember what it was? There was some phone that we saw at CES that had, like, a software button.
It would change
the screen from 2D to 3D. That's not what this button does. The button only changes the camera. And in fact, it's clearly labeled on their camera mode, so you're not going to mistake that.
Oh, okay. That shows you how good I looked. Sorry.
Now, I don't think, and I've been searching on this thing, but I don't think they actually gave us any sample 3D video on here, which is really odd.
So how long before a hack comes out that allows you to actually change the function of that switch?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Because that seems so arbitrary to me. I mean,
change it to a vibrate switch and I'm there.
A vibrate switch, Wi-Fi on and off, Bluetooth on and off, something that makes more sense. You know, make it just a software button to switch to
lock screen on and off.
Yeah,
I think it looks a little out of place. It's kind of big.
Well, yeah.
And that button is crazy.
And then it's got the shutter button for the camera right next to it, and the shutter button's actually really nice. You know, it's a good 2-stage button, so you have to push it once to focus and push it again to actually shoot the picture, just like an actual, you know, camera. And you know, the hardware's good. The hardware's not bad at all. As far as this phone goes, like being used as a 2D phone, excellent. So fast. You know, I fell in love with the Sensation. I had it with me in Miami. I don't think I had it in New York. I don't think I had it yet. But I took it to Miami and used it exclusively while I was down there because they actually have, you know, real T-Mobile 3G, and I don't hear. Interesting sidebar about that, actually, is the Sensation says 4G here in Pensacola, but, you know, you run a speed test and you're maybe getting like 300, 400 down, right? Maybe getting
3G. Oh, wow.
But it still says 4G, but it bounces between 4G and 2G. So it's weird. Obviously, I still don't have good TMO here, which sucks because this phone is awesome. I love the Sensation. Feels so good. It's if you've ever held and felt a Nexus One, which is still one of my favorite phones, you know, it looks and feels a lot like that. The QHD screen on it is good. And I haven't figured out what's good about QHD on these phones. The Evo 3D has a QHD screen too, the higher resolution. But on the Droid X2, it just didn't do anything for me. I don't know why. It's odd. But, you know, using the thing in Miami, just an awesome phone. The battery life was really, really good. I was very surprised about that. Get back home here, and it's, you know, no network, so whatever. But the Sensation is a really good phone, and I love Sense 3.0 on it. I love that lock screen. I did a post today on how to customize the lock screen, and just really, really handy. But then you use the Evo 3D, and you start noticing all this lag back on the Sensation. You're like, oh my god, it's slow. And it's not slow, but there's definitely some noticeable lag compared to the Evo 3D, which has dual-core processor.
The Evo 3D is actually the first phone that I've seen perform as fast as like the Incredible did. Mm-hmm. Like it looked like it was just blazing when you were using it.
I haven't slowed this thing down yet. So you know how it does that weird like rotation of the home screens? So like if you flick your finger, mm-hmm. it just starts spinning. You can't really get it to do that easily on the Sensation. Like you can, but it takes a couple swipes, and it just didn't seem to always work right. But on the Evo here, it works. It's perfect. So I don't know if it's a software thing. Maybe they tweaked it and got it right on this phone, but I wouldn't think so.
It's probably more RAM because the 3D has so much more in it. You know, when you run the 3D content, you need it.
Yeah.
So when you're not running 3D content, it's probably just giving a little more. You know, and Sense caches stuff and it prefetches stuff. So I'm sure the more RAM benefits it.
I'm trying to find Sensation. Hang on, I'm going to go grab it and we'll see.
Is that a cassette tape they glued onto the back of it? That's what it looks like.
It does look like cassette tape.
It's huge and protrudes.
Yeah, I can't remember
the hardware, though, for those sensors is obviously, you know, fairly deep. And I know the battery isn't underneath there, but... you know, to get, what is it? I think it's a 1700 plus milliamp hour battery.
1730, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. So they've got to fill up, you know, they've got a lot of stuff to pack in basically half the phone.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely more RAM. So the Evo 3D has 802 total, according to Elixir. And the Sensation has 558 total.
So that could be it.
Well, I've got 100 megabytes free on the Sensation right now. 183 free on the Evo.
Still makes a difference, though.
Yeah.
I like the design of the Sensation. Like, I think it looks really cool.
Yeah.
The sort of that really whole cool. Evo. The Evo is cool when it came out, but it seems like every phone is that HTC is putting out looks just like it, and is kind of getting boring. So I like the design of the Sensation a lot better. It's more streamlined, more modern.
Just the rounded edges. It has this weird thing on the screen that I didn't realize till I really started writing the review the other night. And if you haven't read Alex's review, we've actually already reviewed the Sensation once. Alex Dobie did the Euro version and did a really great job with the review. I kind of hated to follow it up with another one, but I think we got to write something on the T-Mobile version, right? The screen like curves up right at the edges, right where it meets the sides of the phone. Just a really neat little design cue.
It looks cool.
It gives it just this weird effect that you can't really describe, but that's what it is. So you go from a flat screen to it curving up right as it meets the corners of the phone. It's really cool. Feels... I tell you, if I hadn't just used Sense on the Evo, which is faster and more powerful, right? I was this close to saying I'm going to import one.
That's weird, because when Andrew was reviewing it, it looked like it was going, because he was flicking through the different screens. I'm sorry, Alex. When he was flicking through the different screens, it looked like it was just as fast as the 3D that you're using.
I'm going to have to go back and look, and maybe if I hard reset the Sensation, it'll, you know, fix itself or something. But and I'm going to do it before we finish all this. But I mean, it definitely, you can tell. I'm flicking through it now, and it feels different. It just doesn't feel as fast. Huh. No, it's not a deal breaker. Like, I would never say don't go buy the Sensation. I think it's a great phone. Really, really good phone. But it's noticeable. It's really different.
That little bit of RAM makes a big difference.
I guess. I'm going to have to root this Thunderbolt and see what happens.
I want
that lock screen.
I still was not impressed, by the way, even with the upgraded camera and the sensation. Just still.
Really? You didn't think it was that good?
Still HTC. Just yeah. The sensor quality is just not there. It's just not like what Samsung has.
Yes. The Infuse is just about the best that I have used.
Yeah.
I would trade that 3D stuff in for a good camera.
Oh, yeah.
Like, give me a good camera. Like, I don't know.
I know we've talked about this before, and I was talking to my wife about it earlier. I mean, do you guys really think the 3D thing's going to stick? I almost get the feeling, even just after using the Evo 3D for a day, that compared to the Optimus 3D, which is obviously, you know, built around 3D in the entire experience, the Evo, I just don't get that feeling. And it's missing the software side of it, right? LG did a really good job, I think, of not just giving you this 3D device, but giving you something to do with the content, which makes sense if
right.
you don't have any chance yeah. of making this work. So you have, and Jerry, I forget the name of it, but you've got the 3D button that pulls up, you know, a menu that has all your 3D content. So it says, all right, here are your 3D videos, here's the 3D YouTube channel, here are your 3D games, and it's all right there.
Yeah, and it's... And even that menu itself, it's a really nice 3D carousel. Mm-hmm. You know, they put a lot of work into that. And it shows. I mean, I would like to think that HTC has something planned, you know, maybe for in the future or through HTC Hub, something you can download. I really don't think they're going to leave the people who like the 3D content out in the cold.
But it gives you a headache when you use it, so.
On this one, yeah. I mean, the viewing angle is just, there's one angle and that's it. The Optimus 3D, it's, you know, you can tilt it a little bit. As you know,
yeah, I mean,
when you're looking at 3D stuff, I think, right? You shouldn't have to be staring straight at it.
Right. You can still, I mean, you can lay in bed and play Let's Golf 2 in 3D. And it doesn't, well, go ahead and laugh, but you do it too.
No, my daughter's mad at Jerry because he has it. And Mia's, because there's a Pinocchio video on it that she was watching, and I had to send it to Jerry. And he's like, where's Pinocchio? I want to watch Pinocchio. I said, Jerry's got it. Yell at him.
I kind of laugh because that's the only scenario I could see myself using it.
Like, watching Pinocchio.
I don't picture myself that too, but like sitting on the sofa. I mean, I'm going to do this on my TV. I'm not going to do it on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it on the plane.
Well, I know all this, the 3D cameras and playback, that's kind of, I don't know, I don't see what the big fuss is there because you can't send it to anybody. I mean, yeah, you can plug it into a 3D TV or you can say, hey, come over here and look at this video on my phone. I can't send it to you or it'll look really weird. So, you know, The 3D technology user content is going to be a little more important, I think, if they want to stick with it.
Yeah.
It feels a little more narrow. It just feels a little smaller than the Evo 4G, but it's not. I mean, it is slightly. So it's like on paper, it's 2 millimeters thinner and 2 millimeters narrower, but it's actually a little bit taller. But it just feels smaller than the Evo 4G. The dual cameras on the back really bug me, like, so my index finger rests on them as I'm holding the phone. And it feels weird being that big. They're flush with kind of the plastic cover that's on them. So, again, I think we're going to have the same problem we have with the Evo 4G in that they're just going to get scratched to hell. Remember, I got the Evo 4G at Google I.O. last year. And by the time I got home, like, and it was in my pocket. And by the time I got home, it was just scratched all to hell. Just dead.
Yeah, I can't even take a picture with my Evo anymore.
Yeah,
because
even if you just set it on a table. I mean, I thought there were a lot of complaints about that with the original Evo. I'm surprised they did that again.
The sensation camera, it's recessed. Not going to be a problem. So I mean, unless it's like got serious Gorilla Glass back there, and even then, it's still a design thing, right? It's like. Couldn't have done something to sink it down just a little bit? Okay. I don't want to talk bad about this phone yet. I've had it a day, and I think it's actually really, really good. But
but you don't want to praise it, you know, for things that bother you either. We appreciate this stuff, Phil.
Well, thanks. I know people were disappointed about the video recording as well. So, I mean, and this got weird. So I remember at CTIA them saying, look, in 2D we'll record video at 1080p, 3D we'll do 720. Mm. I was there. We've got it on the video. Today, mm-hmm. Sprint came out and said it was a typo. I'm not sure it was a typo. it could well just be, you know, the software wasn't ready or they never changed it. I don't think somebody just made it up or just accidentally typed 1020 or 1080p, you know, 3 months ago.
Right. The chip says capable.
Point, yeah. I think it was a spec that at some point was supposed to happen, and whether it was last week or 3 months ago or whenever, it just didn't happen. And I'm sorry. I didn't realize 1080p was that big a deal to people. I've been reading the forum threads all day, and people are freaking out a little bit.
Well, no, I use the G2X as like my new personal phone, and it does 1080p video, and it looks okay, but 720p is so much, and the only word I can think of is jittery. 1080p is jittery. If you move your hand a little bit, it's really exaggerated on your video content, and I don't see that on the 720. So, you know, I would much rather have good 720p video capture than worry about, you know, am I shaking too much? Is this going to look terrible?
Sorry, I just dived into the forums real quick, and I saw a thread that says Gorilla Glass in the camera cover. I thought somebody was listening to us and posted already. No, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of this is just like, it's hype, right? I mean, 1080p, maybe it says it'll do it, but 720 is going to work better because of the type of lens they're using and the software and all that. It's, I don't know.
I'm going to get emails. How's 720 not enough?
Well, yeah, we just got a new TV not too long ago. And, you know, my wife can see a little bit of a difference, but I didn't even know until, you know, one of my kids or one of their friends or somebody said, you know, your cable's only giving you 1080i or 720p, and you're not even getting this on your TV. Well, hell, I don't know. It looked fine to me.
I don't know. Well, and don't get me started on this whole pentile display thing. I'm sure it makes a difference. I got bigger fish to fry, I think, in the realm of smartphones and what I worry about on my phone on a daily basis. That's not going to be it. Sorry.
So the problem with the higher quality video is really it I think it takes up too much space.
Yes.
We're running into this with the photos as well, where you've got a sensor that's taking now an 8-megapixel image and it's creating a multi-megabyte file. And yeah, we've got tons of storage, but it's all about what are you going to do with that image. And when it comes to the video side, it sounds good to have a higher quality video being captured, but it's still a phone. It's not like you're going to be putting your phone on a tripod and recording some amazing video out there. It's just going to be kind of like a normal whatever, you know? So I'm not all that enthralled with it.
Me either.
if you're the kind of person who needs 1080p for your home videos, then you need to be the kind of person who takes a video camera with you and not a phone.
Exactly. I look at what you'd be using this for, and you know, it's to share you know, something obviously that's very important if you're looking to record it in this higher quality. And if the quality is really that important, you're again still using the sensor that's built into a phone, and it's not going to give you, you know, the same quality that you're going to get from a $500, you know, which I consider probably like the, you know, kind of the mid-range consumer video camera that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
The sound's going to be much better. It's going to be much more stable. The colors are going to be more vibrant. And probably also at the same time, it's going to feel like a video, not like a cell phone herky jerky, like I'm taking a video of someone, you know, falling downstairs or something. I don't know what you're doing with it, but you know what I'm saying? It's not going to, I don't think it's going to matter. And I think Phil has a good point too. You know, 720p, fine, leave it. It's good enough. Let's focus on other things like, you know, battery or something.
Yeah, really. That's, I think we should do a poll. Who really cares about cameras on phones?
Like, well, I care about a camera. Okay, this is an old saying, right? The best camera you have is the one you have with you. So, what phone or what camera do you have with you all the time? It's usually your phone. And I regularly take pictures. I probably take somewhere around, you know, 5 to 10 pictures a week with my phone that I keep and I actually want to have and use with something. And so I feel like the camera is important. I'm not sold on the video camera part of it. I've used it before, but not on such a regular basis. You know, change my comment from focus on the battery to focus on the regular camera versus the video camera. And I think that would do better as far as, you know, something that people are more interested in.
Having a good one makes such a difference. Like having the Infuse camera makes me want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
That's a good point. I know I was the guy who never really cared. You know, I can point, click, and it takes a picture that was always good enough. But then my wife bought me a good camera for my birthday, and I like using the good camera. So give me a good one on a cell phone, and I'll probably want to use it more.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jerry, you were there at I.O. I mean, a good number of the pictures I took at I.O. I did on the Infuse.
Yes, and yeah, I played with the Infuse while we were out there. That Infuse has a better camera than my old Sony point-and-shoot camera that I paid almost $300 for. So, you know, yeah, you're going to want to use it.
Actually, somebody started a thread in the Infuse forums, you know, just showing off their pictures, and I looked at it. It was the first time I was just truly amazed by the quality of the photos that I've seen come from one of the Android phones that's come out. It does look really, really good.
And isn't that sad? I mean, for a line of devices that has, 36 hardware manufacturers out there that were just now starting to see this. Nokia had their N8 camera out a year ago. Almost a year ago, right? September. And that camera still blows away anything else that's out there.
What was the one Matt Miller showed us that December in Orlando, Mickey?
I don't remember what that was.
And it was an N something, I forget what. And it was awesome. It was incredible.
Yeah, it had the, I can't remember. What do they call the flashes? It's not an LED. It's
Xenon.
Someone in the chat room. Xenon flash, yes, yeah. which is the type of flash that real cameras actually use,
right?
And that makes a difference too. And so when you go and take a picture, and even the iPhone is, you know, a lot of people tout how good the iPhone camera is, and for its time, you know, mid 2010, it was a good camera, but now it's starting to show its age. And if you compare, even like I'm sure your Sensation photos compared to something on the iPhone's is still gonna fall behind that now. But take a picture with the N8 or a video with the N8. You know, I always talk to Nokia because of that. In fact, I am trying to decide if I should buy an N8 just for that purpose, just to have, you know, a really good camera with me that I can just throw in my bag. But I really think that's got to be a focus because people are starting to use it more. And as we proliferate social media even more and more people are sharing their photos, it's gonna start to make a difference to people, and I think it really should be a focus.
So what is it? What is the key piece in the camera that makes the difference? And is it really expensive for them to put one in there that works really well, or like why do you think we're still kind of so far behind?
Is it a software thing? Is it a sensor thing? Is it a lens thing? And I don't know, and I don't know enough about digital photography to really know exactly, you know, what's what. But
yes to many of those questions.
Yeah.
You know, the lens is a big part of it. But the general optics, you know, Nokia is very big. They've partnered with Carl Zeiss, and so they use the Carl Zeiss optics, and so it has to do with the sensor and also a lens. I'm not a photog, so I can't tell you, you know, what are all the things that are going to really get into it a lot, but I know that there's a lot that has to do with that lens that's out there. When you're shooting through a piece of plastic, it's only going to be so good, right?
Right.
So you've got to keep that in mind when you're using it. And for the people that are out there that really know photography, a cell phone camera photo is still a cell phone camera photo, and it doesn't, you know, it's not until you see something that just is where you can, whether it's zooming in on it and seeing a lot more detail than you're used to on a picture that you know has not been taken with a professional, you know, DSLR camera or whatnot, it's still, they're all just kind of the same. So There's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just as simple as megapixels. That's what kills me. People are like, oh, I need an 8-megapixel camera. No, you don't. You need a camera with good optics. That's what you need. and that's what's going to make you happy.
They're playing the megapixel game like they do with the G's, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It needs to stop, but it's a sexy number you can sell. I want to shift gears here for a minute, and I remembered what else I want to talk about. Let's talk about the next Nexus phone, because we've seen a bunch of just crappy stories come out lately, and then BGR got supposedly some really good specs leaked by somebody. But at the same time, they're not really official and just kind of ballpark type stuff, like, you know, in almost multiple choice. Like, all right, well, it could be this processor or this processor, and it has this and this and this, maybe, and blah, blah, blah. Let's start with the rumors that were just horrible. So there's that TechHog site that had a picture that was obviously Photoshopped and pretty much obviously not a Nexus anything. but the one thing I think that is going to be...
Real quick, we can't beat him really hard. If you investigate the whole backstory...
Right, right.
I mean, he thought a friend of his trolled him. So we don't want to knock the guy at TechHog down.
No, but they need to get new friends.
Well, yes, that I have to agree with.
And one thing I think that we can remember from that picture, though, is that I'm willing to bet we're going to be losing all capacitive buttons in whatever the Ice Cream Sandwich phone is. You don't like that?
No. I like hardware buttons, but...
What's the difference between a capacitive button that's sitting there on the camera, or sitting there on the phone, and, you know, buttons on the screen that would be in the exact same place and do the exact same thing?
Go into recovery one time and tell me.
Ooh.
I need my buttons, man.
Dude, you got a power button, volume buttons. That's all you need.
Yeah, but that sucks. Hey, I'm a dinosaur. Leave me alone.
So we're going to have that. Then there, like 2 days later, there was the rumor, oh, look, there's this LG thing. And it was actually a picture, and I remember it. It was a picture from the announcement for the Optimus 2X. And I forget the other phone. It was the one that Jerry and I were up at like 3 in the morning for the Korean announcement. and that's all it was from. And somebody dug that. I didn't even do a story on it. Couldn't bring myself to do it. So BGR got these specs, and they're actually, I mean, they almost sound too good to be true. If half of it's true, it's going to be a hell of a phone. So it'll be Android 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich. That makes sense, right? Anybody dispute that, probably?
I think it'll be 4 dot something.
Yeah. I know what it is. A 1.2 gigahertz to 1.5 gigahertz processor. Okay.
Well, given. Yeah, has to be. I mean,
no reason. Here's how I would preface all this stuff. The next phone is going to be better than the last phone. It'll be thinner and faster and lighter. And of course.
Yep.
2 months later.
Yeah. So, you know, take these specs for, you know, face value for what they are. A monster-sized display, and that's their quotes, it's 720p. I don't know about that. I mean, what do you think, Jerry? So, say you have a 4.5, or maybe even a 5. I don't see him doing a 5-inch phone. I don't see him going.
No, that'll. I'll cry. I mean, you'll have to talk me off the ledge if they do that.
But yeah, but 720p resolution. Do we need a
4.5-inch
phone with that higher res?
No, because that slows everything down. Maybe bump it up a little bit. The people want, you know, a little bit higher resolution. But you know, 720p, that's 720 wide, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of pixels to push.
I can't even fit this 4-inch phone in my pocket.
Right.
What else? So either a low power consumption 28-nanometer Snapdragon chip or TI OMAP 4460. We have actually heard a lot, and I know we've said it before, Anton Wallman from The Street has talked to us a lot about maybe... how Google's getting away from NVIDIA and switching over to the TIO map. And Dieter and I met with the TI guys at Mobile World Congress. And they have a lot of really cool stuff coming. So, I mean...
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the best way to get the instructions that reach into the hardware optimized is let Google use that platform as their reference. So, you know, we've had Snapdragon, we've had Hummingbird, we've got Tegra... Bring on OMAP. That's what we need.
I'm sorry I'm not a bigger processor nerd. I just can't get myself excited about them. And I know they're important. I know they're very important. But I mean, in the to the end user, is one processor that much better than another for normal consumers?
No, fast is fast.
As long as it's done right, no, it shouldn't be.
And that's kind of my thing. But as long as it's done right, yeah.
Right. If you go look at Android 2.1 and compare a Snapdragon phone to a Hummingbird phone, hardware-wise, the Hummingbird processor is much faster. Mm. But software, that wasn't the case because it wasn't optimized yet. So that's why I hope they pick, you know, the OMAP dual core and give it a shot too.
I mean, can you imagine the Evo 3D going any faster? What difference does it make?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of my question with all this stuff. And even with dual-core processors, now that said, I love how fast this Evo is. But again, what are you going to be doing with this stuff? Like on the tablets, it makes sense, right? You're pushing a lot of pixels. You got a lot of stuff going on. On these phones, unless you're going to be outputting like 720 and 1080p video, which who's doing that? Anybody? Can you name two people you've ever seen plug their phone into their TV?
No.
No, that's not fair. That's not what you asked. I play a jet ski game.
That's true. Well, you play Riptide, and I love Riptide.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say the name, but yeah, I play that on my TV whenever my wife will let me.
The average person does not do this.
Here's the other side of the coin, though. These new phones are coming without HDMI out. Ports, right? And you've got this ridiculous MHL adapter, which in and of itself isn't horrible. I can live with an adapter. But the fact that you have to plug a power cord into the adapter, you have to have another micro USB cord plugged into this thing to power it, is just ridiculous, and I refuse to use it. You can't, I mean, I will never in a million years do that.
And put the damn adapter in the box.
Yeah.
That's what kills me. People don't even know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hmm. What else? LTE. So that's kind of the thing that I'm really thinking about here. So immediately you hear LTE and you think Verizon, as well you should. But remember that AT&T is supposedly bringing it to, what is it, 10 markets, 5 markets by the end of the year? Dallas, Houston, Chicago, Atlanta, and San Antonio, 10 by the end of the year. That'll cover 70 million
enhanced people. Enhanced backhaul plus to come 6 months later.
Jeez. I just have a hard time seeing them building LTE of any kind into a dev phone right now. LTE is awesome, and I am a huge proponent of it, but not for a dev phone. It's just not ubiquitous yet.
I'm going to disagree with you there, Phil. Really? Yeah, that's the best way to get a good open source implementation of LTE's software stack.
Mm-hmm.
But they're aiming globally, so you know LTE makes sense. But in the U.S.,
they're aiming globally, but LTE isn't that widespread in the rest of the world yet, right?
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, it's getting rolled out.
Nah.
That was the big thing at Mobile World Congress this year. Was Verizon was there showing off LTE to everybody?
Yeah, it's not a necessity yet. The rest of the world has got very nice HSPA service rolled out, and when I say the rest of the world, I primarily am talking about Western Europe. But there are situations, scenarios where carriers are rolling out LTE networks, similar like how Verizon is doing, but Verizon is really the focus of it worldwide just because of the number of customers that they have. And it was like they flipped a switch, right? I mean, 60 or 35 markets, 60 airports in a day, you know, and then now we're up to over 100 markets, right?
I've got it here.
They just announced another, just like they announced, 19 today, something like that, including some very small venues. I mean,
we knew like from the outset. You know, it's only like 8 months ago that they really announced that all this was coming. And even then we heard, like, we had people on the inside who were like, just wait, you're going to be happy, and it's not going to take that long. And sure enough. But
they did
it. I have a hard time seeing it for a deaf phone still.
I know that they should not release a CDMA developer's phone. that's, you know, and if they release a 3G, you know, a GSM and LTE phone, nobody in the States is going to be able to use it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just not feeling it yet.
That's
it. I'd sure love to get my hands on one.
If I could get one with AT&T 3G, that would be nice. Please. Just saying.
The time has come.
Came last year, didn't come this year. I don't know.
Just wait for it. It's not going to matter a year from now. It's going to be.
And somebody in the chat room, X Gunther, why can't it just be a CDMA world phone? That would be sweet. That would make everybody happy. But I don't think we're going to see that. I don't think that the two big CDMA carriers in the United States don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, and is Verizon ever going to carry a dev phone based on the way they've done things in the past? Probably not.
I don't know.
I don't know. I've said it before that, you know, Verizon will never allow a smartphone on it that it can't customize. And I was wrong about that, because the original Droid was, for all intents and purposes, a dev phone, right?
Well, it still had some Verizon software on it, though.
Did it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a balance. Well, look at the tabs we got at Google I.O. When we got them, they had some Samsung stuff that didn't belong there. It got pulled out in the update, but
yeah, it did.
You know, it could happen. Verizon is only going to do what makes money for the shareholders, and that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah,
we can all get our panties. Yeah, we can get twisted panties in a bunch and carry on, but, you know, Verizon's going to do what they're supposed to do.
They're going to slather that cake with their frosting and bloatware and package it up and give it to us.
And you know what? How many of them are they selling?
I don't know.
You know, selling a lot of phones. So, you know, most people must be okay with it.
Hey, my brother bought a Nexus S on his way home from Canada. He's moving back from Canada and stopped in Indiana and bought himself a Sprint Nexus S 4G. So actually, Sprint's doing a hell of a job marketing that thing.
And then he wondered why he didn't get the signal all the way back home.
Actually, you know, the best part of that story is he stopped somewhere outside of Indianapolis, bought a Nexus S 4G, and the girl in the store says, "Do you know Phil Nickinson?"
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And neat story. Since we're talking Nexus S 4G for a minute, I'm going to post this in the forums too.
Yes.
I talked with somebody today that lives relatively close to my area, close enough that I know which locations they're talking about. Mm. They have excellent signal quality at their house in Winchester, Virginia. They work in Reston, Virginia, which ironically is a big Sprint headquarter area. When they get there, 3G, 4G, even Wi-Fi craps out. Same phone.
This is a common complaint, though, right? I mean, they're having some issues with that?
A lot of people are having problems, but this is the first person I ever talked to that has a phone that works good somewhere and bad somewhere else. So I thought that was really interesting.
That is weird.
That's kind of all I got. Anything else you guys want to talk about? We got a whole bunch of voicemails I want to go through because they're really good and we haven't done any in a long time. But if you have anything else you want to talk about, speak now or forever keep your peace.
Send me that sensation to play with.
I think I need to send it back soon. I gotta finish.
Bummer.
I might. Now
let's do some voicemails.
All right, let's do some voicemails. Here's Eugene from Boston.
This is Eugene from Boston, and I had a question about LTE. You've been talking about it quite a bit lately, and you talk about the speeds, but not so much about the fact that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Verizon, the only way to have data and voice at the same time is LTE. You almost had me convinced thinking I don't need it until I remembered that. And most of the time it's not a problem, but when I'm driving and using the GPS on the phone and somebody calls me for an extended period of time, it does become quite a bit of a problem. So I would appreciate it if you cleared things up. Thanks.
Here's the way to think about that. Voice and data equals data plus anything that is not CDMA.
Yes.
Huh.
Anything that's not like your standard CDMA, 2G, 3G. So WiMAX, LTE, Wi-Fi, those are the three.
Or One the Access Video, i.e. what the Thunderbolt has.
Yeah, the Thunderbolt's the exception.
Right, because it's a whole different thing.
So you can do voice and data at the same time with a Thunderbolt.
Right.
Where it's on the SVDO network.
Okay. You still have battery life. But he said something about GPS. So I was driving up to Canada this past week and across the border, and I didn't have data for a little bit. And from what I can tell, I think Google Maps is caching, or it's loading all my maps ahead of time. It's not needing to continually download. So I think he should be okay as he's driving around, unless he's rerouting a bunch or something.
Remember, that was part of the update we got early this year. Remember the one that Andy Rubin first showed off when they switched to vector graphics? He showed it off as part of the Honeycomb little teaser he did. I think that was the intent of it, so that it's not as heavy and actually will cache a little bit. And supposedly we're going to see like real offline caching and rerouting and stuff coming real soon.
It works well.
It works well to a point, because it wasn't, I don't know, I said something to you about it, Phil. It was like 3 weeks ago. I had to go out across the state of West Virginia. And if you've ever been to this area, it's nothing but mountains. And once you get up to the top of the first one, you have no cell signal until you get across all of them and get down to the bottom of the next one. And it would have been really nice to have offline GPS, you know, for my scenic route back.
Man, my Thunderbolt has had no GPS for like 2 weeks now. I don't know what's going on.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'll get in the car.
Just all of a sudden, it's like, no, not going to lock on.
That's what's weird. Like, the first time I turned mine on, it worked great. It seems like if I hard reset, it works fine for a little while. And then, like, a week later, I'll get in my car, I'll start driving, it'll take 10 minutes to get a lock. I don't understand what's going on with it. I guess I could just hard reset it once a week.
Yeah.
So there's a couple questions / comments in the chat room about this. So can I get a soapbox? Just a little one.
Yes.
A little tiny
Do
one.
It. Do it.
You guys can go get drinks here. Two minutes, I'll be done. I promise. Yeah. Okay. So here's what's happened with the Thunderbolt. So they obviously have this is the first device that comes out with the LTE, and of course it also does 3G. So when you're on 4G, your data is going over the LTE network, and if you get a phone call, the phone call goes through the EVDO network. So what happened with this one though is they rolled out Verizon, that is, rolled out this new network that essentially rides side by side with their current CDMA network, and this is known as 1X Advanced SVDO. And what it does, it does a number of things. The primary thing that we're talking about here is, of course, that simultaneous voice and data thing, and that's a big one. That, especially for the customer, that makes a lot of sense. But what it also does is it gives the network providers significant increases in the voice capacity of these older legacy networks, these CDMA 2000 networks. So they can upgrade to relatively easily to this SVDO network, and they can really increase what they're doing with the number of channels that they have and the number of people that they can have riding on those. They do a couple other things like power control and CDMA is a very interesting technology in the way that the code division works, and so they can do some very interesting back end things that really make the experience better for consumers. This voice capacity thing as well, it's, I think they said quadruple the capacity of the existing 1X systems that are out there on that same, you know, 1 megahertz of spectrum that's out there. It's really impressive what they can do with this. And so that's why it made sense for them to do this. It's not just the Thunderbolt that's going to get this. Obviously, they wouldn't have done what they did just for this particular phone.
Right.
It's also coming to some Blackberries that are out there. There was a lot of stuff that was leaked earlier in the year about some of the new, I guess it'd be, you know, BlackBerry OS 7 devices that are going to have this functionality as well. And what you may see it as is, what the heck do they call it? It's advanced, 1X advanced is what it's called. Receive diversity. That's what it is. So if you see receive diversity, on any of the marketing materials, that's what this means. And it's such a back-end thing, most people won't even realize it, except that they'll be getting emails when they're on phone calls.
If you see received diversity on marketing materials, I'm going to have to write another editorial.
Received diversity. So how does that affect my GPS?
Or does it doesn't affect your GPS, but it goes back to the question from Eugene, a.k.a. Jacob. You know, it's this the way that he was asking the question made it sound like, you know, been led astray. And so it is possible to have a 3G network on CDMA and have voice calls go over it, but it's not the norm. In fact, it's the exception.
I want to tell Corey how to fix the GPS on his Thunderbolt.
Yes.
Please do.
Don't keep it next to your Fascinate at night.
Actually, the Fascinate works well now. Now that they got all the updates pushed out, it works good.
I just had to mess with you, Corey. It's okay.
All right, yeah. On to Jamie.
Hey, this is Jamie. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. My question is on the whole issue with the Evo 3D bootloader being locked down and all that stuff. I already know you guys are going to cover it in the podcast, so I won't go too much into it. But I was eagerly awaiting this phone to come out, but now that I found out that the bootloader is locked down, I am a little hesitant to buy it now. The other option for me to upgrade to is the Samsung Galaxy S2, which seems like a nice phone, but I have my concerns about it because the original Galaxy S, I mean, there was the GPS issue with it, there was the delay in getting Fourier to it, all that stuff. With the 3D, I could still get it. I mean, I like Sense. It's a good, they're good phones. I can live without rooting it completely, but with the Samsung, I know I'm going to root it as soon as I get it because I can't stand their launcher and their interface that they have going with it. So what do you guys think? I mean, weighing those options, what would you, which phone would you recommend at this point? Where do you think this is going to go from here? Thank you.
Don't not buy the Evo 3D because the bootloader is currently locked. That is I think that is a bad reason to not buy this phone. And I know we said it last time, and I've probably read it somewhere, but if you have to have an unlocked bootloader that bad, if that, you know, is why you're buying the phone, buy the Nexus S.
Well, the way I see it, I mean, the only reason, if HTC never unlocks the bootloader on the Sensation or the 3D, you know, no matter what they've said, if they never do it, somebody will.
Yeah.
Somebody will figure out. They're HTC phones. The guys that do this kind of stuff know the way HTC works. They'll get together and they'll sort it out. So, you know, it's going to give you something. Maybe wait longer than you want to wait, but you'll get it there. You know, and if you really, you know, have it in your heart, I don't want to support a hardware manufacturer that locks down their hardware, you know, that's a different story. But don't think that it's going to, you know, affect what you can do with the phone because they'll get it cracked.
Yeah.
If you really don't want to have Sense and you want to use a different skin and launcher, I mean, would you guys root a phone only to do that? Not
yes. Yes.
You're bad examples. Would you tell a civilian, a normal consumer, to root a phone when they could just put a launcher on it?
Not for the launcher itself, but I definitely would just to get all the bloatware and stuff off of it.
Bloatware is not and be issue, able to and yeah, and I'm about to really go on a tear about that stuff. But
woo-hoo!
And there's some basic applications too, right? That you want to buy that you can't use unless well on some of the phones, but like being able to take screenshots and things like that. But just to put a launcher on it. No, I mean, you don't have to, right? I use, on the Thunderbolt, I use Sense. I use Launcher Pro. So,
yeah,
same thing with all the Samsung phones.
On mine, and I put I broke down and bought SBB Shell 3D. Figured I'd use the media copy for too long, so I went ahead and bought it. I've got it on the Infuse now.
You liking it?
You know, I really did it was just to take one picture for a post. It was a $15 picture right there.
Wow.
No, I do like it. It's neat. It's different, and it's really well done. All right, let's move on to Jeremy.
Hi, guys. On your last podcast, somebody mentioned the ASUS PadPhone, and basically they thought it was a joke. I think it's one of the most innovative ideas to come out of Android yet, and for the simple reason, people will have their own business, use their pad phone at work, they're getting ready to leave, they take the phone out of the back, and they've got all the information, what they just did on their tablet, on their phone, without dragging the tablet around. So what could be wrong with that? And vice versa, when they come back, things they did when they were out, they put their phone back in the tablet, they have all the information they did while they were out. Now, I don't have a business, I'm just an idiot sitting at home, but I think that's a great idea, that because sooner or later, everybody's going to have a smartphone and a tablet. So what's wrong with having the two incorporated into one? So therefore, you don't have to deal with two different companies and all your information is on the same unit instead of on two different units.
I don't think that's... Yeah, yeah, I think it's a bad idea because I'm the guy who said it. everything Jeremy just described, I think, is good. And it is currently being done in the cloud with Google services, right? I mean, I've got half a dozen phones here and three tablets, and I can get all of my information on any one of them at any time because it all just works,
yep.
Right? You know, that means you might have to use Google Docs or you might have to use Evernote. But, you know, there are ways to sync it all in the cloud without having to plug a phone into your tablet. If that's the only reason you're doing that, then I think it's the wrong reason. That doesn't mean, like, having a phone docked inside a tablet like some sort of unbirthed whale or something is, you know, not interesting and cool. But, I don't know. I still think it's gimmicky.
It may be, but the coolest part of it is you got a choice. You think it's gimmicky. I don't see myself, you know, have any need for it. But if somebody does, there you go. Go buy one.
Hey, and just because I said it's gimmicky and stupid and I don't like it doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it.
That's right.
By all means.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, and I'm the guy who went and played with the Kyocera Echo and said, wait, you need to try it. So
I like that.
Exactly what came to mind was the Echo. It's the same it's the same kind of gimmick. It's going to speak to a certain market, and they're going to sell a bunch of them because people are interested in it, but it's not going to be for everybody. But that's okay. It doesn't need to be.
Right. And the people that want it should be able to find it somewhere.
All right. Let's move on to Ken.
Hey, guys. This is Tim from South Carolina. I currently roll with the Samsung Fastmate Rooted, of course. I've got a couple of quick questions for you. The first one being, I read an article about the PadPhone from ASUS, and I was curious if you guys had heard anything more about it or have got your hands on it or been able to play around with any of them or got any idea of when that might be coming or whatever rumors might be out there, because I haven't seen anything since the article on the website. Seemed like a pretty good concept to me. And the other question I have is for Mickey. With all the talk a couple of weeks ago about 4G and the differences in all the carriers calling things 4G, I was wondering when we're going to start talking about 5G, because to be honest, it's like 4G, but it's one better, isn't it? Anyway, thank you guys for all your help and bringing all the great Android goodness you do every day, and take care.
He was giving us a hard time.
This horse and I are walking out back, and I'm going to shoot it.
It's one ball. All right. Anything on that? I think we're done with LTE.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On to Randy.
Hello. My name is Randy Alvarado. This message is for the Android podcast. And I'd just like to know if the Evo 3D will do voice and data or 3G. Like the Thunderbolt. Thank you.
Over WiMAX, yes.
Mm. Yeah, over 3G, no.
Right.
Sprint hasn't kicked that in.
And they probably won't.
I don't know. Mickey, has there been any talk of them even considering it?
Nope.
No.
So there you go.
That's been years and years of no.
I was actually shocked Verizon did it. I was just amazed.
All right. Finally, we have Trevor.
Hey, guys. This is Trevor from Kansas City. I have a question about the Droid X2. I was looking on the internet for a routing option before I purchase it, and I see this ginger break everywhere on the internet, and all these links to these awesome one-click guides. But when I go to XDA or your guys' website, it's not anywhere on a site that I would trust. So I'm kind of scared on clicking these links and doing it and breaking a phone. So if you guys would let me know if that thing is legit and would work for the Droid X2, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Jerry, we talked about that the other night, didn't we?
Yes.
I think I said that to you.
The one in our forums, I will stand behind. I'm not saying that you won't find some that somebody has altered and messed with, but and chances are at XDA, any of the ones you see linked there are going to be fine too. Those guys would rip somebody to shreds if they tried to pull some sort of stunt. But I can stand behind the one in our forums. I know people that have used it. It does what it's supposed to do.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
What's that?
I'm going to go to the forums and install it. Download it.
Well,
try it out.
It might not work on your phone.
Oh.
It's Droid X2.
Oh, get with the program, Corey. I'm thinking Thunderbolt. Yeah, I better not do that.
Well, has anybody tried it?
No.
It's not going to break anything, Corey. It's just not going to work.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that. Couple other items of note. If you haven't bought yours already, we still have Android Central t-shirts for sale at no cost to us, so they're as cheap as we can make them for you without losing money, because I don't like to lose money. So we got links on the site for those. If you haven't yet, go sign up for the Android Central Daily Mailer. We're calling it. It's our daily newsletter. It's kind of a recap of news, and we'll eventually expand it out a little bit and do some non-newsy stuff and maybe even a contest or two. Just saying. So go subscribe to that as well. There's also a link in the sidebar to that. And with that, Mickey Papillon, wrap us up.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can leave us a voicemail by calling 888-468-6158, extension 222. We'll let you leave a message for us. Or you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com. And if you'd like to follow all of the goings-on over at the site, you can follow @AndroidCentral on Twitter, or all of us. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill. And Corey is @CStreeter. The entire site and the podcast brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can place your orders by calling 888-468-6158.
I love the way you do that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm next to a professional.
Hey. Yeah.
Instead of, well, I wasn't going to say your name. I was going to pick on Corey, but you ruined it.
Aw.
Fine.
You do that really well. Have you ever done any radio, like, advertising or anything like that?
Just 5 years of podcasts.
Yeah.
Dude, you should totally be a baseball game announcer.
Yeah, there you go.
I do really enjoy baseball, but it would not be good because maybe.
No. And with that, boys and girls, we say goodnight. Jerry, Mickey, Corey, thank you. Chat room, thank you guys. Everybody else out there who's not listening, you should, but you can't hear me, so why am I even talking to you? That's it. Good night. See you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good one. It starts with, hey there, everybody.
Well, hell, you just do it now.
No, you are the voice. Come on, man.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 60 for Thursday, May 16th, 2011. Damn it! See?
Aw, you are kicked out of Sunday school, too.
That was me. I'm the one who typed it.
Ugh. What'd you do?
Waiting. Yeah, it's not May.
No.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
It's June 16th.